I remember seeing a black cop and a white cop dressed in the same uniform, and they were gurning me into the ambulance, and I just remember laughing at them. I was laughing hysterically because God showed me the point of life.
My name's Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
Hey everyone, this is Z Holly, guest hosting for Esprit Devora, and I'm so excited to have Minji Zai on the show today. She's the founder of a nonprofit tech company that helps people through heartbreak using augmented reality. So I'm really interested to hear more about the technology and also your journey. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Z.
Awesome to have you. Why don't you introduce yourself and tell everyone a little bit about the company, too?
Yeah, absolutely. So The Love Story is a multimedia publisher and production company that specializes in fusing journalism, journaling, and the hero's journey. And how we do that is we create, using augmented reality, an interactive journal that allows the user to listen to interviews, watch the interviews inside a hard copy book. And not only that, they'll be able to submit their journal entries inside our digital publication.
Crazy. So how does that actually work? Let's say if I am a consumer of your reader, yes, I guess, of your journal, how what is that like for me? How do I actually, like, you have a book that's talking to you? What is that?
Yeah. So imagine, okay, you have a book and you open it. It's a journal, right? It looks like adult coloring books, but it has pictures of just different characters. And you take your iPhone or smartphone and then you scan using the Live Portrait app. You scan the illustrations and then it turns into a video. So you actually get to listen to the stories of people who've gone through heartbreak. So if you look at it before the video, it's actually just pull quotes. It's just, you know, really good for you to sketch in. There's three unique illustrators that have designed the book. So, you know, it's great on face value. It looks like a therapy book, but there's a component where you actually get to hear the story. So it's like Frankenstein, it's alive, you know?
So why heartbreak?
Why heartbreak? Because it's a universal journey that we all experience. You know, as long as there's love, there's always that part of us that's going to break for love. Right. And so heartbreak, I view it as an opportunity to get to know yourself more, to get to know the world more. So I look at heartbreak like a shattering, right? When you think of a heartbreak, I think of a heart being broken into like thousands of pieces, right? So I also look at each piece as a piece of your narrative and somebody else's narrative. So you take each piece like a journal entry, and you're able to piece together a new way of viewing and experiencing life.
Mm.
So, yeah.
What is your role with this company, and when did you start it?
I started this in 2015. It became a nonprofit in 2016. And my role has been just the Wonder Woman multiple hats kind of thing, you know, from learning how to build a WordPress site all the way to pitching to all sorts of people that I think would, you know, would want to contribute. And honestly, it came from wearing the consistent hat of a storyteller, to be quite frank, because everything I'm saying to you about heartbreak and breaking open and, you know, the hero's journey, none of this I've invented on my own. It's just me like carrying on the baton and just amplifying the message to people. It's just great stories I've learned from people and applying it to myself and then amplifying it.
So this isn't just a simple journal. There's the whole website component. You help people tell their stories. There's also this augmented reality component to it as well. Is this, or have you been in tech for a long time?
I've been around tech. And that's the thing I've learned is that you don't have to know everything. You just have to be with people, like truly be with people and realize that every person that you walk among with, they have a purpose. And if you can have that intimate heart-to-heart conversation with somebody, you're going to start seeing the puzzle pieces come together on, and unfold for a higher stand. And I didn't understand this until I was at a point where my problem was like unbearable. Like I had to solve it. Like somebody help me. You know, you're at that point where you're against the wall. You're like, I need help. So part of it really is just being around techies and understanding what moves people. And I've been lucky enough to meet Sam, co-founder of Life Portrait. They do the technology, Sam and Robert. And I met Sam through another techie friend of mine who does e-commerce, Slava. And so just having these conversations with smart people is very invaluable.
Well, and these partnerships and the relationship that's really a powerful method of growing your impact.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what would your advice be to women who are interested in tech? Want to kind of break in?
Yeah, I would say find what you're really good at, what you enjoy doing. And they're not always the same, right? So look at what you're good at doing. Use that as leverage, right? And look at what you want to do, right? And look at that as your pursuit, as your heroine's pursuit for your story unfolding. And to not take yourself too seriously, to look at yourself as a character in a cartoon and just trying new things out. And if it doesn't work, the worst thing that can happen is no. I've asked Chad Hurley, founder of YouTube, before, have you ever loved and lost? He's like, nope, never lost, always won. You know, I mean, he was being funny, but you know, it was like, to me, it was just like, okay. I've asked Too Short before on the purple carpet, like, have you, can you say I too have loved and lost? And he's like, no. Right. And then, but you just do it anyway, because it's just like, what can I get away with? You know? So it's like having that kind of spunk, I would say, to really just be playful. To be playful, I think that's the key.
What is your calling? Like, because this is a nonprofit and this is something that's taking a lot of your time. Like, what's actually driving you, and how would you encapsulate that as a calling?
My calling is to inspire people to discover their inner artist at the most terrifying and terrible time in their life, because that time is when the glass seems half empty when it's really half full. That's the time where you can bring that person back to tabula rasa, back to nothing. Because they're so that, like, all their identity, everything's just like broken. It's just like broken in millions of pieces, right? So that there's the opportunity to take them from nothing and to encourage them to create something out of that nothing. And that's been my driving force, because I've been down that road, you know, where it's so painful that you're like, I had to do something, right? And so
how did you come? So what was that moment? And then how did you come back from it?
So it happened in 2013. I was in my living room. I heard weird voices. It sounded like me, but it wasn't me. And it was saying to me, nobody likes you. Nobody understands you. You're scary. Just leave, right? And this happened because of a breakup, right? And I had it in my head that I was a danger to people because I was so suppressed in my expression. I was at a job that was high paying and, well, let's just say for a teacher, it was high paying. And it was very hard for me to like be vulnerable and raw in front of kids, right? So I always had to put on this persona of being okay, right? So I was always okay. And so I was so suppressed. So I remember I was in the living room facing this voice in my head saying, "You're actually a danger to yourself," because I was so angry. I was angry, but I was always smiling, right? I had a call. I remember praying to, for me, it was Jesus. So I prayed to Jesus, and Jesus told me to just call friends. So I called three friends. Two of the friends called the cops on me. And I remember being in that struggle with that voice. And that voice said, "True or false, God is love," right? And I looked at my life and I thought, well, I did all this work and it all fell apart. And why love when it hurts so bad when you lose it? F it, right? Like, I hated God. And so I was like, God is nothing. False. That's not true. And so when I was on my way to really, you know, making the final act of my life, I remember like the fourth dimension coming upon the third one, where I felt the spiritual tug of war. I felt different entities wanting like to be or not to be. That's the question. Mm-hmm. When it comes down to it, it was all in that philosophy, to be or not to be. And when I chose to not be, that's when the cops came. They came right on time. They got me right when I said no, as if on cue. It was very strange. And when they were gurning me out, I remember seeing a black cop and a white cop dressed in the same uniform, and they were gurning me into the ambulance, and I just remember laughing at them. I was laughing hysterically because God showed me the point of life. And the point of life is to love. And then I laughed at them because of how we separate ourselves, right? We separate ourselves from money, from things, from color, from socioeconomic status. All these things will disappear, right? At the very end of the day, I saw two souls in different disguises. And that's why I started laughing at them. Now, they probably thought I was batshit crazy, right? But I was laughing at them because it's like finding the secret sauce to life. And I was just shouting at both of them, like, "Don't you get it? We're all the same, right?" And then, you know, they're just gurning me in. And I saw flashes of riots, of burnings, of effigies. I thought I was looking into the civil rights movement. I had no clue back in 2013 that God was actually showing me a peek into the future, right? Mm. So these kind of fourth dimensional supernatural phenomenons, it's surreal, right? It's something you would write in a story. It's something that I can only articulate in fiction based on a true story. And I want to do it through journaling, which is why that's part of the driving force of doing the love story.
Wow. So since then, what was the biggest challenge in your pursuit of this so far?
Honestly, myself, I get in my own way all the time. I'm constantly fighting the voice. You're not good enough. You're not qualified enough. You're crazy, right? All those voices and that's the shadow side, right? And then there's the other extreme of like, I'm great. This is my project. You know, this is mine. You know, I need to protect it. Like those two are my greatest battles, right? It's like, how do I take that voice of you're not good enough and just say thank you for sharing and just keep going, right? Taking action to your possibility. And then the other one that's like the suffering part of it, it's just like, this is mine, right? Like nobody gets to take it but me. It's like Golem, right? The ring, right? That part is more of like, okay, I need to constantly outdare that voice, you know, because like, oh yeah, Oh yeah, you think it's all mine? Well, watch this. I'm going to write a book and I'm going to share it with everybody, right? So it's constantly like, that's the greatest challenge. How do you
get through that? I mean, have you had a mentor doing this?
I had several great mentors. Yeah, Brant Cooper is one of them. He's the best-selling author of The Lean Entrepreneur. One of the first people to validate me as an entrepreneur and shifted my listening from a teacher to a serious force to be reckoned with.
You know, I would argue.
Yes.
Yes. So actually, like, almost the knowledge is preventing you from learning, right? I think that that's one of those challenges that we face where we think that we need to be all knowing. And at the moment we think we know, we're actually, being an entrepreneur is not being all knowing. It's the exact opposite. It's about learning.
Oh my God, you're so right. You hit the nail on the head on that.
That's really cool.
Yeah. It's letting go of the need to know everything mm-hmm. before you do, mm-hmm. right? And then for me, it's also being mindful of being more rather than doing more.
What do you mean?
So I'm in the process of hacking love, if growth hacking love, if you will. And I'm looking at the definitions of love, right? So for the longest time, I was searching for the definition. So now I'm on this scientific endeavor, like, okay, my hypothesis is that love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, it does not boast, it does not dishonor others, it does not seek its own ways, right? So just some of these, right? How can I be more? Being more patient, being more kind. How can I be less envious, right? Just stay in my lane and be like, I don't need to get this and that in order to validate who I am here right now, right? How can I not insist in my own way? Because that's my biggest challenge, honestly, as an entrepreneur. Because whenever people want to contribute, I've had moments where I had to do it my way. It's either my way or the highway. It's either my way or no way at all, right? And that's that inner child I battle with, right? So being more open to people's ideas, to hearing. See, I had this story that marketing is all manipulation, and that's BS. That's just my way of avoiding the responsibility of being with people, right?
I remember when I was in academia for a while, and I was I would say that I didn't like fundraising, and then people would say, "No, you are a fundraiser. What you do is fundraising." I'm like, "What?" And like, "Yeah, because you're connecting people with something that they really care about, and you're helping." And that's the same thing with marketing, if done responsibly.
Yeah,
is that you're not pushing something that you're not interested in. If you do it right, you're actually connecting people with something that they really need.
Yeah.
And it sounds like what you're doing is something that people really need. Some people.
Yes. And the biggest challenge in that is, how do I allow people to want it versus pushing it on them and saying, you need it, mm-hmm. right? Because there's that dance again.
I've heard that this is maybe more of an Eastern philosophy, but knowledge is something that needs to be taken, not given.
Powerful. Very powerful.
Is there another woman in tech, either here or elsewhere, that really inspires you and really impresses you?
Yes. I just can't pronounce her last name that well. So Ruby, I'm so sorry if I butcher your last name. Ruby Guillermo. She's a Latina hacktivist. So she has this company called Humanistic Technologies. She's been working in the foster homes or as a social worker for the past 20 years. And she saw that there's a big demand for us to respond to crises faster. So she's using tech as a way to respond.
Amazing. A lot of these very mission-driven technology companies, and I think in a way it helps inspire you to keep going, because entrepreneurship's not easy. But speaking of which, in pursuing your dreams, What's the best lesson that you've learned about yourself in doing that?
The best lesson is to be patient with myself. I think I tend to be too hard on myself, and I punish myself through maybe overeating or just, you know, finding ways to disconnect with myself. And it's like, no, none of that. I've already peaked in that fourth dimensional kind of plane where I'm like, the supernatural exists, right? So I'm like, there's no excuse now for me not to be great. But in the meantime, my biggest battle is to just give myself the patience to be okay with failing or making mistakes. Maybe it's the third croissant that I wasn't supposed to eat, but I ate it anyway and I'm full, but I keep on eating. Right. So it's like, you know what? Just give yourself a break, right? Like be gentle with myself. And I think that goes for a lot of women entrepreneurs. I feel like we feel like we have to set the bar even higher, you know, comparatively speaking. Because we have something to prove.
Right? Mm. There's a lot of pressure.
And we pressure ourselves. Yeah.
Don't we?
Nurturers and growers, right? Builders. Builders and nurturers. Yeah.
So what's next for you?
What's next is writing the playbook for Love Story. It's to really define what this whole program or project is all about, right? So you're journaling. Well, what for? What is the hero's pursuit? So for me, it's a parallel of writing the playbook while simultaneously writing my own love story at the same time. Yeah. That's
really exciting. How can people connect with you, learn more, stay in the loop?
Yeah, so you could go on our website, www.thelovestory.org. And if you want to take a look at my personal journaling, it would be at mingiezai.com, MingieZhai.com.
Cool. Anyone with a Z in their name is cool by me.
Go Z's.
Oh my God. It was so amazing to hear about your journey, and it definitely is not your typical tech story, but we talked about the fourth dimension. We talked about the meaning of love. We went really deep around kind of the stories that we tell, ego, just going and how you can really come back from the depths of despair, which is kind of it's the hero's journey. It's also the entrepreneurial story, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you so much for joining us today on the Women in Tech podcast.
Thank you, Z.
If you love this conversation and want to hear more stories from inspiring founders, you might also check out my podcast, The Art of Manufacturing. It's a behind-the-scenes look at how entrepreneurs who make stuff are trying to make it in their industries. Tune in at artofmfg.com or search for The Art of Manufacturing on your favorite podcast player. This is Z Holly in for Esprit DeVora. Thanks so much for listening to Women Tech. Bye, guys.
This episode of the Women in Tech Show is powered by UpGuard. UpGuard's discovery engine brings visibility to complex IT environments, enabling teams to quickly identify risk, confirm compliance, and make business safer. They are proud supporters and employers of incredible women in tech.
The Women in Tech podcast is an independent production funded by you, the community. To support Women in Tech, if you believe in the vision as much as we do, please consider going to womenintechpodcast.com. That's womenintechpodcast.com, and just click on the contribution link to keep this podcast going. Thank you.